We are joined by Attorney Jeff O'Brien. We're going to talk about so many things. Let's start off, though, with the Vikings and the Gophers. How about those Gophers? They're ranked now 21st in the AP poll. They knock off Michigan. Not knock off. They basically had their way with Michigan State at Michigan State. Big win for PJ Fleck and the Gopher team. And as you mentioned off the air, we were talking without their best receiver. But this team has defense, and it's got one heck of a running back in Muhammad Ibrahim. And, I mean, who knows what they're going to wind up doing, but also who knows what the Vikings are going to do after getting dismantled in Philadelphia. It looked like it's going to happen again, fall 14-0 behind, and then they catch up, and then they're down 24-14, and they wind up winning by the greatest quarterback to ever live. Yeah, right. Kirk Cousins. He led them on a comeback. KJ Osborne catches the game-winning toss without, and Justin Jefferson, teams, but see, that's the thing that they have to be aware of. Teams will be shutting him down, putting extra coverage on him, but that opens things up for others. So that if they keeping that in mind, they'll be okay, right?
We'll see. The difficult part of yesterday, Bob, is that they're doing this. It was alumni weekend, too. So all the alums are in the building. You'd think they'd step up their game and not blow a game to Detroit. But, they get out. Fortunately, they get out of there by the skin of their teeth. But, when they key on Jefferson, thankfully we have Adam Thielen. And Adam stepped up early on yesterday and scored the first touchdown and set up the second one. So, teams aren't going to be able to just key on Jefferson because the Vikings exploited that to get back into it by throwing to Thielen. So they just have to remember that they do have Thielen on the roster, and he got his 50th, his 50th career touchdown reception yesterday. So that's kind of a nice distinction too. So, the Vikings are becoming anticlimactic after the two Division I teams play on Saturday, because St. Thomas extended their home win streak to 33 games, and then the Gophers, I refer what the Gophers did, Bob, as a statement win. You go on the road to East Lansing, a building in a school where they've typically had issues over the years, and they absolutely dismantled Michigan State. I mean, it was a shut. They were what, how many seconds away from a shutout? Michigan State got one garbage touchdown at the very end. Other than that, Gophers were going to shut them out on the road.
And it's one of the best the first three opponents were not great opponents, but statistically one of the best defenses in the country. We'll see how that plays out as the season continues for them. And, your Tommies, and by the way, they are your Tommies. You're a Tommy. They've bounced back pretty well. Are they 2-1 now? After
2-1, I think they're their first conference game here coming up here next week, and they lost the first. I think they have their first game of the year. It's kind of like the let's see where we're at game, because they play some more established football program. And last year it was Northern Iowa. This year it was It was like Southern Utah or something like that. And they got beat pretty handily. So I hope that in my lifetime that they get good enough where they can be cannon fodder for the Gophers for a game.
Well, the. That's a good way to put it. Bethel also beat St. John's in MIAC and MIAC football, so that's a big win for Bethel. However, the Johnnies, it was not a loss weekend because the rugby team dismantled Wisconsin Stout. Speaking of dismantled, it was like 35-15, and we'll be talking to Tammy Cowan, the coach of that Johnnies team. My son plays on it probably tomorrow. So we'll have all the coverage you need on your Johnnies rugby. I know people love that. Let's move over to this one. Can this sink Tim Walz, this Feeding Our Future, where he blamed a Ramsey County judge for allowing this to happen? The judge said, oh, no, wait a minute. I did not do that. He called Walz a liar, but could it be enough to unseat him as governor and have a sweep into the governor's mansion, attorney general, auditor, secretary, all the big ones?
It's open for that. And Bob, you and I have talked on the show before, even before Scott Jensen was the candidate, even before there was all these folks had gotten into the race, that I thought that this was Tim Walz's race to lose, and he needed something like what happened with Glenn Youngkin in Virginia, where the the school issue, the critical race theory took precedent over any national issue. It became a local issue. And Terry McAuliffe had that famous statement about parents needing to stay out of the way of educators, right? That I said the nominee was going to be needed that kind of opening to do something here. I think this has the potential to be that opening. And the fact that you have a sitting judge that put out a press release calling the governor a liar and bringing the receipts, bringing the orders, because, you know, the Walsey wants to say, well, the judge forced us to make these payments. Well, no, and he came back and said, no, I didn't. I forced you to your department to make a decision one way or another. You guys chose to make the payments and rendered the case moot. And even if he had ordered to make the had been ordered to make the payments, I didn't see them appealing. So this is on the Walz administration, and you have a attorney general who has been absent from this investigation. You have Andy Lugar, the U.S. attorney, is the one that brought the indictments, and he said the $250 million is just the floor. There's more. There could be more money involved and more people involved in this. In fact, there's a couple of DFL donors involved too. And now the question is, well, where's the auditor on this? Where was Julie Blaha? So this has the potential to help not only Scott Jensen, but also Ryan Wilson running for state auditor and Jim Schultz running for attorney general. Jacob Fry is tied up in it, and Betsy Hodges came out with a snarky little tweet, said, well, you can say what you want about my time in office, but I never appointed people that lost millions of dollars.
That surprised me because I didn't realize there was a fraction or a fracture in her relationship with Fry. Is she's not a Fry person, right? Because he beat her.
Well, he beat her, yeah. So this does, yes, I do believe that this has provided the opening for some of the Republican candidates to this could be a referendum. This is what happens when you have one party rule for as long as we've had. Yep. They believe that they are untouchable, they are invincible, and they can do whatever the heck they want. And this Feeding Our Future scam appears to be tied into that.
All right, now, final question for you, because you are an attorney with many multifaceted, but you do represent a lot of craft breweries and distilleries, and also a lot of people that are, you know, infusing things with different types of hops. What is the big story going on now in the hops industry?
Well, this was a story it was in the Washington Post, out of Philadelphia. A brewery called Philadelphia Brewing was growing a patch of hops within the city, and they were going to be used for a special beer called Harvest from the Hood. It was, you know, it's meaning, you know, they were going to harvest hops from the neighborhood where they're located, right?
Yeah.
So they had a sign on it said Hop Garden, Watch Us Grow, in bright green and yellow letters. And it even said these hops will be used in Harvest from the Hood, an annual limited release wet hop IPA brewed by Philadelphia Brewing Company. Apparently, though, city workers don't understand what a hop is, because they were out, you know, they sent the crew out to, you know, that's in charge of beautifying neighborhoods, and they mistook them for overgrown weeds and mowed them down. And they said that the company will probably lose $30,000 to $40,000 as a result of.
Well, they got to reimburse them, sue them, and get reimbursed. That's what they need to do.
Well, that's why, unfortunately, you know, cities have immunity for a lot of things, you know, for when they screw up. Otherwise, can you imagine if you could sue the government for negligence? They'd be broke.
Yes, they would. All right, Jeff, as always, greatly appreciated. Attorney Jeff O'Brien from Chestnut Gambrone.